So welcome to ECC. My name is Tim Matthews, and I serve as one of the pastors here. And if you're a first-time guest, returning guest, we're really excited that you chose to be here with us this morning. And we're going to continue in our study in the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bible, open up to Ephesians chapter 5, or you can pull that up on your apps. If you don't have a Bible, we should have some in the seat back in front of you. And if you don't own one, that's our gift to you today. Now, in a moment, I'm going to ask all of us to stand. But before we get there, I want to start off with a couple of things. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been moments in my life where God's truth and my life experiences don't match. You guys following me? Like, let me give you an example of this. Like, there's been moments like I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is our provider. Right, you look at the Old Testament scripture and you see God provide a sacrifice at the altar so that Abraham wouldn't have to sacrifice his son. And he calls him like, man, God, you are our provider. I know that. I know that the Bible says, Psalm 23:1, that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want. I know that the Bible says that. But in my life, I know what it is to be broke. Can I get an amen? To have no money, like at all. To look at my budget and look at my wife, my two kids, my dog, and think, one of them got to go, right? I know what that's like, right? I know what it is to be in the line at Wegmans and swipe my card and go, I hope it goes through. I hope it goes through, right? And when that says approved, to like start speaking in tongues. Like, I know different things like that, right? Don't get mad at me. All right. I know different things like that. Right, where God's truth and my life experiences seem like they don't match. I know what it is when the Bible says, and I believe this, that God will never leave us or forsake us. Isn't that a great promise this morning? Right? But I know what it is to feel alone. I know what it is to feel like if God truly was with me right now, my circumstances wouldn't be the way they are. There may be moments in your life where you experience the same thing. You know God's truth, but it seems as though your life experiences don't match his truth. And I believe this morning that Ephesians chapter 5, the passage that we're going to read, gives us a beautiful way like to respond if you ever encounter that or you know someone who's encountering that. So with that in mind, all who are willing and able, would you stand up as we read God's word this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to begin in verse 15 to 17. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17. It says this, it says, look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You may be seated. So what's the answer, right? What are we supposed to do as Christ followers in moments when his truth and our life seems like they don't match? That there's a gap between what he says should be happening or could be happening, but for whatever reason, we don't seem that we're on the right track with God. Now, before I begin to answer that, real simply, I need to start with this. One of my favorite authors, Tim Ferriss, he said this, one of these quotes. He said, subtracting the bad does not create the good. Right? Subtracting the bad does not create the good. You see, Paul, the author of Ephesians, has repeated himself beautifully, as if you've been following us as we've been teaching the book, about this theme I don't want us to miss. He's instructed the church, in light of what Christ has done, that there are things that we're supposed to put on and put off. Right? Because of the good news of the gospel, there are things that we should desire and things that we should discard and things that we should be dead to. Amen? Right? Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, there are things that we should adore with all of our hearts and things that we should abstain from. But this is the key. The reason why this is important is because when we read the text sometimes, I don't know about you, when I read the Bible, I naturally sometimes drift to what the Bible tells me not to do instead of the beauty of what it instructs me to do. Let me put that real simple. It's so easy growing up, especially when I work with young people, to think, oh, Christians, that's just for old people who had fun and now they don't want me to have fun. And they use the Bible to tell me what I can't do. Right? You know who you are. Right? Right? You know. So what I'm trying to say is like it will be so easy for us to look at the text this morning and just focus on what he said. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. I don't know about you. I want to be known for what we're for more than what I'm against. And so Paul, I love that in the book of Ephesians, if you've been following us, he says put on. Put off, but adore, abstain, desire, be dead to, right? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, it's going to be on the screen. It says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Do y'all see that? The Bible isn't sin management, but it's because we once pursued things that led to our death, but now we pursue things because of the life we have in Christ. And that's something really beautiful to celebrate. I wrote this, the process of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus, is a beautiful dance and also a real war between fleeing sin and pursuing that which is only fit for saints, which you and I are. This morning, you are a saint, right? Repeat after me, like Simon says. Simon says, say this, I'm a saint, right? Now you're like, do you know what I did? All right. Our sainthood is not because of our actions, it's because of the finished work of Christ. Listen how Paul, and this is, I just got to give a little history. Listen how Paul in the book of Ephesians starts off the whole book. In Ephesians, he starts off by addressing them to the saints who are in Ephesus. In Ephesians 2, he says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God. Church, this is something to celebrate. We were once dead in our sins, but because we're now made alive in Christ, you are a saint. Right now, this very moment, for those who have believed and put their faith in Jesus Christ, you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Clothed in the righteousness of God. How beautiful is that? The testimony of every believer here in this church today is that you were once a sinful stranger. God sent his sinless son to perfectly fulfill the law that you and I couldn't, as the spotless Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world so that we could be made righteous and called sons and daughters of the one true God, and therefore we are saints. Man, that is so good. Y'all can all go home after this. Are you, like, if this is true, do you know how your life should change? Because some of you, it's even hard for you to worship God because you're thinking about your flaws instead of his perfection. Come on, church, this is, oh, man, I should literally just send them home. It's like, do you understand this? This is true stuff. It's so easy to always focus on the sin that he saved us from instead of the identity that we have now in Christ. And so when Paul is telling them, hey, pursue these things, flee those things, he's only telling them that not so that they can become something, but because of who they already are in Jesus Christ. And that is great news. Today, for me to walk in holiness is actually being who God created me to be, not me being someone who I'm not. And that's a beautiful thing, that this morning, right now, we are saints. Now, I can't lie. The text that we read this morning does say, don't walk unwisely. It does say, don't be foolish. But it also says, walk wisely and understand what the will of the Lord is. I have to spend time here because if we're not careful, we'll preach a gospel that's a lot more legalistic than we think. We'll be known, as I said earlier, more for what we're against than what we're for. And we won't provide the life and love that is needed for this world to find so that they can have the same hope that we found in Christ. I don't know about you. And I know sometimes people don't like, oh, is it attractional? Is it missional? Should we be engaging? Listen, I believe that Christians should be engaging. I believe that our lives should be interesting. I believe that our lives should be powerful, not because we're trying to attract the world, but I know who lives inside of us. And not just live differently. I believe our lives should be beautiful. And I think God has that for us. So this morning, I want us to look at this text and not just focus on the wrong, but almost kind of be slanted and focus on what's right. So let's look back at it. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Here we go. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. The answer to the question is the title of this message, walk wisely. Everyone say, walk wisely. When faced with situations that God's truth and your life experiences don't match, how should Christians respond? I think we should walk wisely, right? I love how this verse instructs us first to look carefully on how we walk, right? Walk, how we live. How we act, how we respond, right? Not as unwise, but as wise. I love what one author put it this way. Craig Rochelle said this. He says, no one drifts into wisdom. No one drifts into wisdom. No one just wakes up like, smarter today than yesterday. Right? No one drifts into wisdom, right? Paul's instructing us to take an honest look, an intentional assessment of our lives to evaluate if we're walking in wisdom, if we're living by the counsel of God. And this is why this is important. If you don't read your Bible, how can you be walking according to what the Bible says? Right? This is not condemnation. This is instruction. This is why we need the words of God. Jesus flat out said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? And so we have to be walking by the counsel of God. No one drifts into wisdom, but most of us, including myself, can easily find ourselves participating in things that are unwise. You can ask my wife. I'm going to say this simply. Tim Matthews needs no help to do something stupid. No help. I'm good all by myself. Right? And that's what Paul is trying to get at. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. He says this, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Now think about this. If one of the wisest men to ever live said, be not wise in your own eyes, how much more should we not be wise in our own eyes? Do y'all get that? Do you see the connection? You see, this morning, tomorrow, and the next day, to walk wisely, we will need wisdom that is bigger and beyond our own brains. You will need power that is beyond your own strength, and you will need insight that can't only come from your own intellect. But this is the good news. God wants to provide it. He wants to provide it. To put it another way, Solomon, the man who received supernatural wisdom from God, wrote, do not be wise in your own eyes. Well, then how much more should Tim Matthews and you adhere to his instruction? Now, I don't know about you, if you read the Bible when it comes to Solomon's life, this guy prayed for wisdom. God gave him supernatural wisdom, and he done some unwise things. Some of you are thinking like, Tim, I'm disqualified from walking wisely to live in this beautiful life that you say Christ purchased for us. Well, let me ask you a question. Any time in your life, have you built altars to false gods so that you can appease wives from other nations? No, Solomon did that. The guy who is in charge of doing some beautiful things from God did some horrible things. So he's speaking from experience when he says, look, be not wise in your own eyes. And this is the wisest man to ever live. So the question becomes, how do we get this wisdom, Tim? If it's outside of ourselves, how do we get it? Well, James chapter 1, verse 5, will be on the screen. James says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Church, let me give you a promise today. Today, at this very moment, God is generous and freely wants to offer you the wisdom that you need. He really does, and he finds no fault in giving it. But you have to pray and ask him. So right now, instead of just preaching about it, let's do it. I want you to think about a situation that you may need insight on, a situation that maybe it just popped up in your life, or maybe it's something that's been going on for years, and you just need God's help. And right now, as I pray, I just want you to ask God, God, give me wisdom on how to handle this situation. Let's really do that. Let's pray. Father, right now, we love you. God, we thank you for who you are. And God, I just pray for my life and the lives of this church. Father, we need your help. Father, you know every situation. You hear every single prayer right now. And I ask you for wisdom. God, we need it. We want to walk wisely, and we need your help. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, guys, let's practice that daily. One of my mentors, he said, Tim, you need to pray that God would fill you with the Spirit daily. I said, why? He said, because you leak. That's so true. We need to wake up with this. It's this weird thing. We need to wake up in this tension that we desperately need God, but he's always and ultimately available for us. So just waking up every day saying, hey, God, I need wisdom today on how to walk wisely. I'm telling you, it will enhance your life. It will enhance your life. So now that we ask God for wisdom, well, what do we do next? How do we walk wisely? Let's look at verse 16. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Making the best use of time. Now, I believe of the time. I believe that Paul is not just telling us to be great time managers here because of what he says after it. What's the motivation? Like, what's the base beyond making the best use of your time? He says simply, because the days are evil. I want you to listen to how one author put it. He put it this way. He says, we don't live in a morally neutral climate. Every day we interface with a culture of sensuality, gluttony, and greed. Ours is a culture that encourages us in the most provocative ways to do everything in our power to try to satisfy appetites that can never be fully satisfied. The days are evil. And if you don't pay attention, you will end up paying a price for your carelessness. I love that he said that. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I love that our pastor took the time to talk about the election. Right? Listen. There are people here, even in this church and in our nation, who celebrated the results of a couple of nights ago. And there are people who mourned. We live in a divided nation. That's not up for debate. I don't care if you're a Fox News junkie or a CNN junkie. It's not up for debate. These are the times that we live in. These are the times. But listen, as Christ followers, I believe that one way we can make best use of our time is to stay engaged in what's going on first in your own neighborhood, our nation, and in our world. How many times did Christ command his disciples beautifully to be prayerful, to be watchful, to be alert? Don't fall into the false security offered by those who are sunk in their apathy. This is what they say. I don't care, so it doesn't matter. Whether their person got in or not, I don't care, so it doesn't matter. Listen, it does matter. Amen. What and who we give our lives to matter. How we live in this time matters. Why? Why? Because God created you on purpose and for a purpose. Amen. Stay engaged. Listen, stay engaged. I got to talk about my wife's family because they're not here and they can't defend themselves. My wife, her mother has twin brothers. One is Jay and one is Gilly. One lives in the country of Virginia. The other one lives in the city of New Jersey, right? One is a crazy liberal and one is a crazy conservative, right? So the only thing I was thinking about Wednesday morning was, man, I wonder how Jay is doing, right? The crazy liberal. If you go on his Facebook, and I wish I would like post it up on the screen, that would be real bad right now. He literally said this. Jay said, man, I'm just going dark. For the next 4 years, you're not going to be able to find me. I'm going to live in a cave, right? But then her Uncle Gilly, he just probably smiled like, oh, okay. Like, that's just how Gilly is. But the crazy thing is, no matter where you land, I believe as believers, we live for a bigger kingdom. Right? Our allegiance is to God and not just to a country. But we still live in this country. There's still things for us to do. So no matter if your person got in and out, we need to be engaged as a church because now the world is looking for answers. And don't we have the truth? Don't we have the way? Don't we have the life to offer them? But if we as Christians just don't be engaged, you'd be like, or some of you real Bible people, well, I'm just going to study. I don't care what's going on. You're an idiot. I'm sorry, but you are. Really, so the world's going to come to you with your answers, but you're so crazy studying the Greek that you can't answer a mom who's distressed about the election? Wow. Wow. Well, I'm just going to pray for 2 hours, but not talk to my neighbor about what happened. Okay, holier than now. Come on, people. When no one made Jesus so awesome, he was available. He put on flesh and lived among the people. Here at ECC, I believe that that's what we want to do as a church. Listen, time equals life. Don't waste it. Time equals life. Don't waste it. So to walk wisely, what we do, we pray for wisdom. We make the best use of time. What else? Let's look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, no one drifts into wisdom. And what I found funny is that the Bible actually has to command us not to be foolish. Isn't that kind of funny? Like for all eternity, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will remain the same. So for all eternity, Paul had to instruct a church and instructs us today, hey, don't be foolish. I just found that funny because sometimes I feel like this verse was written just for me. See, understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I'm not going to lie. When I got to this point when I was preparing my message, I felt like this could be intimidating for us to actually understand what the will of the Lord is. How many of us can confidently say, I know God's will for my life, right? But I don't think that's what Paul's talking about here, right? I don't believe that Paul is instructing us to predict the future because when I counsel people and say, man, I don't know what God's will is for my life, you know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about tomorrow instead of today. They're thinking about the future instead of the present. I don't think that's what he's getting at. Or when people say, I don't know God's will for my life, it's like this, like, man, I don't know what he's called me to. Just like I said to you earlier that you've been created on purpose, for a purpose. Some of you are like, Tim, I don't know what that is. And so when Paul says, don't be foolish, but to understand what the will of the Lord is, Tim, would you help me? I don't know what that is. Well, let me just real simply break that down. First and foremost, Christian, God has called you to himself. First and foremost, right? Not to an activity, but to him. You are not just tools in the hands of Almighty God. You're his son and daughter first. First and foremost. From Old Testament to New Testament, the scriptures proclaim a God who rescues, redeems, and restores right relationship with man through Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom for many. You may still be thinking, well, Tim, what am I supposed to do with my life? Well, someone asked Jesus that, trying to trip him up. A lawyer came up to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? I love that the Bible is so relevant. It still answers questions that we have today. Tim, what am I supposed to do in my life? Well, a person came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, what's the greatest thing someone can do? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law and all the prophets. Start with that. Start with that. Right? Now, I still think there could be something here when Paul instructs us not to be foolish, which is lacking judgment, good sense, almost to be childish, but to understand. And if you've been following along with us in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, he says there's something that he wants the saints to understand. Let me read that. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend, you see that, understand with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I love how he writes this. Isn't it crazy? He said, to know something that surpasses our knowledge. Listen, guys, I know this is a church, and I know, you know, some of us have some Pentecostal backgrounds, and maybe we've been hurt by that, but can I be real with you? Apart from the supernatural, we can do nothing. Amen. Amen. We need, look how supernatural that is, to actually know something that's beyond your knowledge, meaning God revealing that to you. Well, what does he want them to know? What does he want them to understand? The love of Christ. Like, Tim, help me put this together. Well, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, listen what Paul says to the church. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And this is in what? The love chapter. Do y'all see where I'm going? All right, let me put it simply, right? Just maybe a deeper understanding of the gospel, the good and God-glorifying news of God's love for us, and his people could keep us from following foolish ways. Maybe that's what he wants them to understand. Maybe that's what it is. Because I know when Jesus stood in a garden and he was praying and blood coming down his face, when he said, Father, let your will be done, that meant a cross to display the love of God. So if you want to understand the God's love for you, is the same way of understanding the will of God for your life. Let me give you some examples. As I preach the gospel to myself daily, it will be foolish for me not to forgive others as I cherish the forgiveness I receive from Christ. As I preach the gospel to myself daily, it will be foolish for me not to be generous with my life, because I'm only saved because of God who was generous at the cost of his son's life. As I think and meditate on God's love, it will be foolish not for me to at least to try to love my enemies, because God loved me first when I was once his enemy. That's how you understand God's will for your life and not walk in foolish ways. So now what? Tim, how do we walk wisely? Well, let me review. Be careful, mindful of the way you live. This week, I encourage you to do this. Be honest. If you're married, sit with your spouse. If you're not married, find a trusted friend and ask him or her, like, hey, how am I living in your eyes? Because isn't it hard to be objective when you think about yourself? It was crazy. My wife, she was going through an Instagram post, and she read this article, and I love working out. It says, when I work out, I want immediate and extraordinary results, right? I'm one of those guys who work out once in 3 years and think I look buff. I look in the mirror and I'm like, right? Wife is like, really? Right? You feel sore and feel good the next day? Look the exact same. What I'm trying to say is we may need like someone else in our life. And listen, this is huge. This is important. This is why we need the church. This is why if you're not in a community group that we offer, I encourage you to get in one. Not so that people can just point out your flaws, but that you can pursue God together. And when you fall, you're not alone and we can help pick you up. Because guess what? We're going to fall and we're going to need you too. So this week, real practical, take an honest assessment of your life. I said, man, how am I living? When faced, I love this, Andy Stanley said this, when faced with a situation, instead of asking yourself, is this right or this wrong, ask a better question. Is this wise? Is this the wisest thing for me to do? And seek wisdom from other people. What's the other thing I want you to do as we practice? Pray. Ask God for wisdom daily. He wants to give you wisdom. You have to ask. Listen, it takes a lot of humility to fall on your face before God. But this is the promise. God gives grace to the humble. He will give you what you don't deserve just by you coming to him in your desperate need. What a beautiful exchange. I'm needy and I'm going to the greatest giver of all time. That's a win every time. Make the best use of your time, church. Stay engaged with what's going on in our nation, in your neighborhood, in our country, in our world. Listen, pray as you watch the news. Be prayerful. I don't know about you, but sometimes they're just pushing fear. And you watch and you're just like, should I go outside? This is nuts, right? Either the earth is going to blow up because I ain't recycling, and then I look at my Coke bottle, I'm like, did I do that? Like, it's just pushing fear all the time. Hey, how about you just be prayerful? Amen. Like, God, help us. Give us wisdom. Seriously, just with climate change and all that, you got scientists who believe it, scientists who don't. I'm just like, all right, baby, maybe I should take 2-minute showers instead of 20 minutes. I don't know what to do. Be prayerful as you read, as you talk to people. Stay alert. Stay engaged. Hey, start a conversation with someone at work this week. See how they feel what's going on and offer them the hope that's only found in the gospel. Why not? Understand the will of the Lord. Hey, guys, preach the gospel to yourself every single day. I know sometimes you hear this, you're like, oh, this church, gospel. I know. I grew up, gospel meant like big black women sweating. Mah! That's what I thought gospel meant. And I still love it. Listen to Shekinah Glory when I was preparing for my message. Yes, sir. Best believe I'm going to start a gospel choir up in this church. Can you imagine Pastor Dave in a robe? That's going to be awesome. That's going to be great. Oh, man. I can't wait for that. Listen, the gospel should energize us, right? It should give us a security that the world can't offer us. It should give us a peace that can sustain us, right? It should give us a strength that, man, even when I'm weak, man, your strength is made perfect. Preach the gospel to yourself every morning. When Willow was going to bed when she was little, I used to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now we sing the Barney song, and I feel convicted. Preach the gospel to yourself every single day, and be encouraged. Be encouraged. Can I call the band back up? We're going to respond, as we typically do, just to worship God in song. And as they come up, I want to pray for us. So if you could close your eyes, bow your head, let me pray for you.